So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Fans and a Pro on this beautiful Friday afternoon. I am Deuce McAllister, but I have a special guest. And I'm going to throw it down to the sidelines to him.
Special is a strong word.
Well, I mean special as far as for Fans and a Pro.
I like to think this is kind of a soft opening for the Friday show that will take over for this
I'm not going to get into that, but I'm going to still throw it down to the sideline or over to the sideline to Jeff Nowak. And could you give me my River Parish report, your overall thoughts today?
Today?
Yeah, just today. Not the season. That's later on. That's our fantasy update. Because you know we're missing one person. Charlie, I know you're are manning the back of the house for us, but we're just missing the black cat to make this just truly weird. And that's Robert Carroll.
That's true. If he was hanging out, you know, whispering sweet nothings into my ear all show long, like we do on the sideline. It is funny. You don't even realize this throughout the course of the game. Y'all are talking, and me and Robert are having like a back and forth about what y'all are saying, and you have no idea that's even happening. Well, I need you to understand that.
Well, I can imagine that. I mean, just truly trust me. I can truly imagine that. And you know, we get fussed at about different things, and you know, some of them we can control, and some we can't. But you know, it's always you know, anytime we can bring the Saints game to the listeners and the viewers that are listening, we do truly, truly enjoy it. But I am joined by Jeff Nowak, my normal co-host, and our friend Mike Haas is under the weather. And I'm going to claim it now. No, Mike, I did not get you sick. I'm going to say that. No, Mike, I did not get you sick. He is under the weather. Hopefully he is feeling a little bit better today. We text earlier and he was saying, hey, at least I got my meds now. And so, you know, get well soon. But Jeff, just to talk a little bit about, you know, just the season wrap. Mm-hmm. And you know, we look at what LSU has done in a transfer portal. We talk about a little about the college football game. You had one last night, the Fiesta Bowl, Ole Miss versus Miami.
It's a heck of a game.
Yeah, and then you have tonight, we have Indiana versus Oregon, which is a kind of a repeat, a mm-hmm. game that has been played already.
Possibly the top two picks in the draft?
Possibly. One is on the fence mm-hmm. About coming out. Oregon quarterback on the fence about coming out. Also, our Pelicans are in Washington tonight, and they play at 6 o'clock. You can find them or catch them here on the Big 870 when we wrap up. Pregame starts at 5:30, and that is a game that the Pelicans desperately, I'll put desperately out there, need. And then I want to get your opinion on the report that was, filed today, and it was kind of known in some circles as far as here in New Orleans that a couple of guys aren't available. But I do think some moves will be made, Jeff, and I just want to get your quick thoughts on that as well.
Right now, you want to talk about the Pelicans?
I love talking basketball.
Okay, let's do it.
Pelicans, I love talking Saints. I'll go all over the place.
Oh, no, I just want to make sure. I want to make sure we're on the same page because, yeah, I'm fascinated by what's going to happen with the Pelicans at the trade deadline. John Morant, who's also, you know, always going to be kind of inextricably linked with Zion because they were mm-hmm. the number one, two picks in that draft. Memphis is talking about potentially trading John Morant, which is why it feels even stranger that, you know, this idea that Zion's not on the trade market. It just, I don't know, how many times do you have to run it back with this same group and have it not work out before you decide, hey, we're going to kind of bring this thing back down to the studs? I don't know. Like, and it's tough because you look at it and you see Zion's playing well. Zion's not the issue with this team, but does the build work?
Well, yeah, the build out of the team, what you have. Right. I mean, and the other problem is when you start looking at numbers, though, and the thing with Ja, I don't think his is injuries. Some may be injuries, but I think his may be he's probably outgrown Memphis in a sense, if that can be said. And I don't think he's a favor of management / coaching.
No, and Memphis is playing well, you know, without him. right? And that's not something you can say for the Pelicans. I think that's the biggest difference is the Grizzlies have seemed to found something with the rest of that group. And the Pelicans just, I don't know if they have the star that they need that drives winning. And one thing about Zion that's kind of bothered me for the last several years is, you know, where is the jump shot? Where is the development in his game that brings you to the point that's like, oh yeah, this is a kind of team functioning around a superstar, whereas like you get into these games and there's still very obvious ways you're going to take Zion away, which is anything more than 8 feet from the rim,
yeah, pack the paint.
Let him have it.
Pack the paint.
And it becomes difficult to play. You know, your offense kind of bogs down because, you know, you cannot do basic NBA sets when they're just going to operate like that. And, you know, and so you take the ball out of his hands. And then what is, can you have a star player on your team that becomes a liability in terms of spacing constantly? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it just you have to be a lot more creative offensively. Yeah, that's what it forces. And then you've got to have some shot makers, and that's the other problem with the Pelicans. You don't have enough shot makers.
You also don't have a coach in the sense of like, okay, you have James Borrego, and there's a long time to go with an interim coach, right?
James Borrego wants that job. That's why. I mean, even if it's 40 games, you know, They still have obligation to try to play. It's not like they packed it in.
That would be like the equivalent of an NFL team firing their coach after like week three.
Yeah, week three.
Yeah.
Yeah, week three, and now the runway for the interim guy is, hey, yeah, this is what you have to do. And so we'll dive a little bit more into the Pelicans, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. You know, we do have
wild card. I just want to win, man. That's all I want. I want the Pelicans to win.
Me and you both. We do have wild card weekend that kicks off this weekend, and, you know, some pretty good slates of games. It really starts tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Rams, they play the Panthers, and then after that you have the Packers and Bears. On Sunday, I guess it's a triple header. Bills at Jaguars, kickoff at noon, followed by the 49ers and Eagles, and then you have the Chargers and Patriots. Monday night, Houston versus the Steelers, and so that will be the playoff as far as that's the kickoff for the playoffs. And today, we also have Catherine Terrell that'll join us at 4:35. She'll give us the Saints season review and, you know, what to look for this offseason. And then Sam Brickhouse will join us, former Tulane linebacker and Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist. Sam will be joining us at 5:25. Get us a little bit of the analytics, see what they say about college football and the wild card weekend matchups so far. And you can give us a call or shoot us a text here. We're excited just to be able to talk a little football from 4 to 6 and we're talking sports in general. And so I know we talked a little bit about the games, the college football games. Jeff, I want to get your opinion. And, you know, people think, and I want to put this out here, I'm not upset about Ole Miss as far as losing yesterday's game. I knew that was going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
And it was really styles of plays. And it was the contrast of styles of plays. And if you followed Ole Miss football this year, like, you know, not just the last couple of weeks or in the playoffs, the one Achilles heel this season was defense. That's where the investment was not made. And once you scored with 3 minutes on the clock, it was just like you're hoping for just something weird to happen, because that was the only way Miami wasn't going to score. Or they scored too soon,
right,
and your offense gets the ball back and you're able to go down there and kind of steal it at the end.
What truly killed Ole Miss was not that Miami was going to score. It was how they were going to score, which is that Miami team runs the ball, man. And I think what you saw in that game is why, like, if I ever had to pick, hey, do I want an explosive offense or do I want an offense that's going to lean on you and run the ball, I'm taking that the latter every time, because you saw the second half of that game. That final drive, the defense was gassed.
They were gassed. They were done.
That last – when Carson Beck ran into the end zone, I don't know his name, 51, he was laying there.
Xavier Harris, 6'8", 350.
He was laying there with like a turtle on his back.
He was done.
He was exhausted.
Yeah, he was done, right? And he will be a guy that probably – a first or second or third. I don't think he'll be a first
player.
Rounder. No, he'll be a second or third rounder, you know, because of his size. But I mean, you look at him that play and it's just like, wait, this guy's going to the NFL?
Yep.
But he was done. But that was the thing. You don't have the depth as far as defense. You just don't have the size to play a team like Miami who's going to lay on you.
When you can run the ball, you can control the pace of the game. You can control when you score. You can control the clock. You can do everything you need to do. When you rely on big plays, explosive plays, you just got to trust that it's going to work out for you.
Well, another thing is you can't get behind the sticks either.
That's true.
You know, a couple times it was even third and long situation, and they were still overcome it just because, you know, the mistakes by Ole Miss or lack of tackling there by Ole Miss. I mean, but that's the only thing. If you're going to have that type of grinded out mentality, you can't get behind the sticks.
So, no doubt.
You know, it'll be intriguing. We'll talk a little bit about the Indiana-Oregon. I want to get your perspective on that game. We'll take a quick break here. You're listening to Fans in the Pro with Deuce and Jeff here on WWL.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to Fans and the Pro. Deuce McAllister and Jeff Nowak here joining you from 4 to 6. Give us a call at 504-260-1870 or shoot us a text at the WWL text line as we chat a little bit more. Before we went to break, we talked about the Ole Miss Miami Fiesta Bowl. Wanted to get your thoughts on this Oregon Indiana that game, and it's technically what the Sugar Bowl. If I remember correctly, and then, you know, a Peach Bowl, Sugar Bowl was here in New Orleans. It's technically the Peach Bowl. And then the finals will be down in Miami on the 19th. But I just want to get your thoughts on this, the matchup tonight.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's, you know, anytime you have a quarterback matchup like this, it's going to be a game. I will say, like, the college football playoff has a problem with blowouts in semifinal matchups. We didn't get one last night. And I don't know. I kind of feel like this is the Hoosiers' year. You watch.
You feel a blowout, or you feel it's not going to be a close game?
I mean, what's the difference?
I mean, 10 points. 10 points. I still feel it's close.
I like India. I think Fernando Mendoza is just operating at a high level.
Yeah.
You know, and you give a guy like that extra time to prepare, and I think that's always a big factor in these matchups. Is, you know, you're not going week to week, right? Like you got time to kind of figure this all out.
But with their last game only being last week, I mean, it's a seven-day split right now.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, a seven-day split. But what's interesting is they can go back and look at – this is not a I don't want to call it – basically a common opponent, because you can go back and look at that first matchup.
The matchup you already had.
You can look at that first matchup. But what's interesting to me, maybe the lack of running ability. I know there's a couple of questionable key players for Oregon. How about this? They may only have – two true tailbacks available, and of that two true tailback, one is a true game time decision. They moved two defensive players from last week, two guys that were on defense to the offensive side of the ball.
So you're saying that's not a good thing?
Well, do you know one guy that left Tulane that is redshirting now, or took a, you know, basically a redshirt this year?
Yes.
Guess what position he plays?
Running back.
And one of the issues was he couldn't get snaps. You know, couldn't get snaps. And whether it was whatever happened, you know, whatever happened, he wasn't involved early on. And so he wanted to take a red shirt. And that is a position where they have two true tailbacks available tonight, and one is a true game time decision for Oregon. And they literally moved two defensive players. I think one played safety and one linebacker. They played, obviously, football. The tailback position in high school, and they have practiced this past week with the running backs.
It's interesting. I guess, you know, this is something I don't know. Are you allowed to say, hey, I don't want that redshirt anymore, I want to play in the college football playoff, or does that mean you're just done?
Like, no, because IR? No. I think the relationship soured so bad that I don't even think that
that's
he,
interesting.
You know, because you can. So with so many opt-outs happening earlier, you know, not just this year, but in the past, the NCAA allowed for that redshirt year or guys that normally would not be available to not count.
Interesting.
So guys that, you know, playing in the playoffs or even a bowl, it doesn't put you over your limit. So how about this? If so, let's say you got a guy that you're redshirt and played four games and you make it, he could possibly get, what, three more games?
Right.
As a freshman and still be considered a redshirt.
And it's a bummer because, you know, I think Tulane could have used Mekhi this year.
Yeah. I mean, well, I mean, they still had some pretty good backs, but sure, I think an overall picture, if he's available, I think you'll use him 100%. But, I mean, one of the biggest stages, a guy like with his talent, not possibly or not being available, definitely hurts that Oregon matchup. And I'm kind of like you. When I looked at it and just digging into it, the average age of that Indiana roster.
Yeah.
He's 23 years old.
It's wild.
23. The average age of the guys that are playing are mostly fifth-year seniors on that roster. And so, yes, they do play some young guys. I'm not taking it away. But just like you talked about, from being a mature player, it's not even close. It's not even close. And so they have a good system in place as far as a coaching system and a staff, but they have older players. And so for them, it's about just going out and executing. You know exactly what you're going to get.
You know, I have a question for you, and I'm curious, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Do you think Tyler Shough, his success this year, and even Bo Nix last year, you know, Michael Penix was 24 when he came to the league. Do you think teams are going to start erring a little more toward, hey, we don't need to bring in the 21, 22-year-old kid. Like, it almost seems better off to let them take a little bit more time in college and develop, even like a Carson Beck. I think he's in like year 6 or 7.
Yeah.
You know, and suddenly that doesn't feel like a disadvantage as much as people want to play it out, right?
I mean. But you want my honest opinion?
Yeah.
No, give me the young hot guy. Yeah, give me the young hot guy just because I can get a couple more years out of him. I can get a couple more years out of him, particularly if I've got a roster that I feel like that he can come in and I'm a quarterback away. An older guy helps me because he's been there, done that. I don't have to worry about him off the field in a sense. And then some of the looks he's already seen. He should have plenty of experience in those systems. But if I got a guy that, you know, he's got that it, I want that younger guy.
The counterpoint, if you got a guy who comes in is ready to contribute right away and you don't have to wait that 2-3 years development time, you get to take advantage of that rookie-scale contract, and that's a cheat code.
It is definitely a cheat code, and you'll see a lot more teams probably going that route if they like the prospect.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking top three in the draft, that's one thing. If you're talking second round.
Correct. We're going to go take a break quick, and we got Kat Terrell coming back just to give us ESPN reporter. She's going to give us the Saints season review and the look at the offseason. This is Fans in the Pro with Deuce and Jeff.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to Fans and the Pro. Deuce and Jeff here, and I do want to apologize. I know that I've butchered everybody's name. We do have Miss Catherine Terrell, and you can find her at @Cat_Terrell. Online. She is the ESPN Nation Saints reporter. Catherine, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
We're doing pretty good. Doing pretty good for a Friday. It's been a beautiful day outside. You better enjoy it because I hear that the weather is going to be changing drastically. So if you got anything that you're trying to do, you better get it done now.
It's going to be a great weather weekend, right? Except for the rain tomorrow, it's going to be in the 70s, you know? Feels like April, right? May, June, every other month here.
rain and wind in the forecast. Rain and wind in
it's
the forecast.
It's not golf weather.
So, no, they're definitely not golf. Not happy about that, but that's another subject. But, Kat, I want to get your take on this Saints season, this past season, and kind of the off outlook of what things look like for you and just your overall perspective of, you know, where this team has to kind of get better and some of the things that they did have some success with. And, you know, just listening to Mickey and, you know, just his press conference and, you know, just his overall thoughts and get your impression of everything.
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking about Kellen and Mickey's press conference today and just how the tone of it was so different from last year. That's a good thing. There's a lot of optimism around Tyler Shuck. As Mickey said, he'd have to be in a coma not to realize all this optimism. It does make me wonder if, you know, the way that the team performed at the end of the season and the optimism around the rookie quarterback is kind of masking some of the other issues the Saints had at the beginning of the season. I do think there is a lot to be positive about, but, you know, I do think that it's going to be an interesting off season to see what the team feels like they have to fix versus kind of what people think the team has to fix just a few days after the season ended.
Yeah, you know, it was funny kind of hearing Mickey try to kind of like tap the brakes on that, because he understands, right? Like, you know, there's still a developmental process with this roster and with a young quarterback who started 9 games. And, you know, it's going to be really difficult to kind of tamp down those expectations. And that's the challenge of ending a season the way you did and going into a season where there's going to be excitement and expectations. And you love that for the fans and for the team, but you got to deliver on it. You know, you show up week one and lose in a bad way, suddenly, well, what happened? And that's always a difficult stage. You'd rather be there than the alternative, but it's tough. You know, we were in there on Monday. It's always interesting, clean out day and the energy. And, you know, it's been the last 4 seasons, right? You're talking about 7-10, 9-8, 5-12, now 6-11. But the energy from everyone in that room felt worlds different, despite the record being pretty similar. What were the vibes you got, you know, talking to Tyler Shuck, talking to Cam Jordan, talking to all these guys? And how do you think that's going to impact the offseason in terms of, you know, just the buy-in from everybody?
Yeah, you know, this team has said over and over and over again that they're very close and that they've bonded a lot. And teams say that every year. They kind of have to, right? You know, they're not going to say during a season this team is not close. But I do remember walking in the locker room on Monday and just watching all these different groups, position groups, talk to each other. And, you know, because sometimes it can kind of get segregated by position group. But, you know, everyone was talking to each other. Everyone was in a good mood. Everyone just seemed kind of happy. And I think a large part of that was the optimism that they ended the season on a high note despite losing to Atlanta. I think the circumstances of that Atlanta game were always going to be tough for them to win, and I think they understood that too. So I don't think they were down on themselves. And so it makes me believe them that they are close. I think this rookie class is close, which is great moving forward because they're talented. So I just wonder, you know, how do you take that closeness and optimism and move it into next season? Because you always expect it just to be something where you pick up where you left off, and that's the biggest challenge. I think Cam said that the other day. You can't just pick up where you left off. You have to start all over again. So that'll be interesting this summer.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think, you know, a lot of times you have some success at the end of the year and everyone thinks that it carries over, and that's really not possible just because the relationships will be new. You have to be able to have some chemistry. But I want to get your take on what you think this team, you know, if you had one side or offense and defense, if there was one position group or thing that this team had to do this offseason, just wanted to get your take on what that has to be, offense and defense.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be writing about that on ESPN.com for tomorrow. I kind of broke down, you know, all three phases of the game. You know, if you want to talk overall improvement, I think special teams jumps out immediately. I think they're going to have to overhaul almost the entire special teams unit, or at least figure something out, because statistically they got worse in almost every category. I think there's a lot of optimism with Charlie Smith. So that's the one bright spot moving forward. I think punter is going to be scrutinized and Kroger's a free agent. But if you're just thinking of top need that comes to my mind, people might disagree with me, but I think they need to draft a wide receiver. And I think that needs to be one of the top things they look at, because you can't go through a season with, you know, just Chris Olave and then the mixture of, you know, Kevin Austin and backup wide receivers. So that's my top need for now.
You know, and just sticking on the offense, you know, Tyler Shuck, it was kind of a revelation when he got in there. I don't know if anyone really knew what to expect. We saw him in preseason, and he looked like there was upside, but I don't think he looked like anything like he did in week 14 in terms of the confidence that he operated with. You know, what are your expectations for him moving forward and just, you know, going into this offseason, what do you want to see him improve at? Like, where do you think the biggest room for growth is with the young quarterback?
I think the most impressive thing about Shuck to me is, one, he had an ability to elevate his receivers. You know, I just kind of touched on that. But you look at the last week of the season, you know, he was throwing touchdown passes to Ronnie Bell and Kevin Austin and guys that people didn't know. And that is a lot harder to do than you would think. I think it's been several years since the Saints had a quarterback that could elevate his receivers to be better. Now, a lot of quarterbacks can play well if they have good pass catchers, but the opposite, like with Drew Brees making people better, that's tough. And also, I thought that his ability to bring the team back in the fourth quarter several times, actually, that's a tough quality, too, to have. Not every quarterback has that. So that's what I was impressed by. But I think Shuck just needs to keep doing exactly what he started doing once he got here last year, making connections with his receivers, which he did. He plans to work out with them again this year. And just keep growing as a leader. But on the field, I think he needs to improve the amount of sacks he took. I think that was way too high this year. A lot of factors. It wasn't just him. But, you know, if that number stays as high as it did this year, he's going to get hurt next year. So,
yeah, I agree with you. Hard to play a full season if you're getting tackled that many times. I think when you look at it, aggregate starting every game, it would have been around 55 total roughly if that's the case. And so it's hard to last if you're on the ground that many times. I want to get your opinion, you know, before we let you go, I want to get your opinion of the playoffs. You know, Wild Card Weekend kicks off this weekend. And, of course, we know the Saints aren't in it. But, you know, just your overall thoughts on that, you know, whether it's Wild Card Weekend and or just the playoffs in general.
Well, I definitely got humbled a little bit because when I came into the season, we were all asked to pick who was going to be in the Super Bowl, and I said the Ravens and the Eagles. So the Ravens humbled me a little bit. I definitely thought they would have a better season than they did. I think a lot of people thought that. The most interesting team to me, I think the Niners are a really interesting team. The Bears have been a huge surprise this year. I didn't think they were going to be as good as they are. And, you know, the Seahawks have had an amazing season. So I'm really intrigued by some of these games. I'm trying to think of which game tomorrow I'm looking forward to the most. Probably Green Bay and Chicago. But also I think that Eagles-Niners game is going to be great to watch on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the Eagles game and 49ers, you know, it's almost an attrition game. You know, which guy for the 49ers is going to be well enough? You know, they've been injuries have been ridiculous with them. And then the Eagles, you never know who's going to show up, you know, offensively, who shows up, and defensively, can you get off the field? And so definitely should be intrigued. You look at the Bears, Packers, and, you know, can the new head coach come over and really seal the deal? He's got that team playing really, really well, and you know, it'll be intriguing to see that matchup.
Yeah, like I said, the Bears have been a huge surprise this year. I didn't know what to make of Ben Johnson. Sometimes it's just a crapshoot as to whether elevating these coordinators into head coaches is going to work out. And man, did he take this team and really make it something. So you got to give credit to him. And also, you know, I know the last few years he hasn't, you know, had a lot of fans down here, but I think you got to give credit to Dennis Allen for what he's done with that defense this year as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, D.A., he's always been a heck of a, you know, D.C., the Saints fan have probably been more upset as a head coach. But, hey, that's another subject. Catherine, we want to thank you so much.
Day.
Yeah, we want to thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time to talk about the Saints, the NFL, and, you know, offseason ahead for this team. You can find her on X at @Cat_Terrell and have a great offseason. Hopefully, the weather is great today and tomorrow and the rest of the offseason, and, you know, hopefully things go well for you.
You guys as well. I know I'll enjoy watching some football this weekend.
No problem at all. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kat.
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty much spot on, and she covers this team, you know, with the best of them, you know, pretty much at every practice, every game, and, you know, that analysis is as true as it can be.
Yeah, I think the thing she brought up, that's like the wide receiver position is fascinating. The running, there's a lot of positions on the offense for this team that are fascinating. I want to get into that as we go forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, for me, you got to add some guys. That's what it comes down to. Yep. I mean, you can say, nah, we're good. No, you got to add some talent.
Weapons.
I mean, you got to add some weapons. And
teams need weapons.
You got to have it. We're going to take a quick break here. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. You're listening to Deuce and Jeff on Fans and the Pro. Welcome back to Fans and the Pro. Deuce and Jeff here with you, wrapping up this first hour. Another hour to go. Just had a great conversation with Catherine Terrell with ESPN. And so just giving her thoughts on the playoffs as well as the Saints season. Jeff, I know we've kind of bounced around a little bit from the Pelicans to the Saints to the playoffs and the college football. But I know that you have a text.
Got a text.
That you want to read, and let's get some thought on, and so I'll let you go ahead.
Yeah, y'all hit us up, 504-260-1870. Let us know what you think. 7662 says, Tyler needs a stud tight end who can throw a block and then run a good route. Tyler could throw my grandma open if he had time. Pretty athletic grandma. So we're fine for now at wide receiver. I guess so my question to you, A, what are your thoughts on Juwan Johnson's season? Career highs, targets, catches, yards. I still find myself wanting more at times, but what would you say the priority is for this team in terms of adding another weapon at tight end?
You've got to add one because of injuries.
Yeah,
at that position.
Well, he did play all 17 games.
Not just him, but the way
everyone
this
else.
Team, yeah, the way that this team plays 12 personnel and 13 personnel, which is three tight ends / two tight ends and 12, they've got to add some more guys in there. And so the question becomes, at what level do you want to spend money when you talk about, all right, are we going to invest a second round? Are we going to invest a third round? High of a priority is it for you in that sense? Because I do think that they will add a receiver to the room. But the question becomes, is that via free agency or is that via draft? And then the other question you have to look at, the long-term health of Chris Olave.
Yeah.
That's something that you have to consider. Even before the latest scare with the blood clot, the concussions you had to consider. So, if that's going to be the case, is that a receiver that I'm drafting in the first round?
You know, I guess this is probably a longer conversation to be had around Olave and the extension. But, you know, so two things. One, I would like to see the Saints change their philosophy on drafting tight ends, because I just don't understand why you don't draft the position. The last time you drafted a tight end was Adam Trautman in the third round. Prior to that, the last time you drafted a tight end, third round or higher, was Jimmy Graham, and they have not drafted a tight end ahead of the third round in that span, and that just doesn't make sense to me with all these tight ends coming out of college. But my question is, when you look at Chris Olave, is that something that you expect them to try to bake into his contract when they eventually come to terms on an extension, which I expect to happen? Is that a situation where you think the team's going to try to maybe work some protections, some health protections into that contract language?
Yeah, I mean, the language is there anyway to an extent.
Right.
But, yes, there will be incentives, so to speak.
Yeah, it, like playtime incentives type stuff.
Well,
yeah.
not necessarily just playtimes. Hey, maybe even
availability.
Active,
right.
Availability, you know, if you're up for this game. Not necessarily even playtime. I mean, because sometimes you can't
That's
even
true.
Control.
Sure.
You can't control, we just talked about it, what sets that are called. You know, if I'm not the receiver in 13 personnel, now my playtime is maybe affected. Even though he's your starting receiver, That's something that may not be affected or you can't control. The other one that, hey, there will be, I don't want to call it small incentives for amount of catches, amount of yards.
Sure.
That's in every contract. But I think availability from a, hey, you're up on a 53 this game, you may see a little bit more heavy lean in that sense. Now, I agree with you. I do think that they get a deal done. Now, we can debate about, hey, it's going to be towards the Ja'Marr Chase side or it's going to be probably top 10-ish side.
To me, I think you look at Garrett Wilson's deal, and if you can come south of that, which is about 32 a year, I feel like that's a win. Because you look at their numbers for over 4 years, they're almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets paid Garrett Wilson. So if I'm Chris's agent, I'm like, well, look at this. That's kind of
hard to argue with, but my counter would be, who's been available? How many games?
I think Garrett's played 58, Chris has played 55.
Right there, close together.
Yeah.
You're listening to Fans in the Pro on WWL. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Hour number one down, one more to go.